friends. Welcome to the fourth in the series of Think Like a CEO, how to grow and run your business like a CEO without losing your sanity or pulling your hair out. Today, in this particular episode, I'm going to answer some questions such as, you might be asking, am I really a CEO? What's the role of a CEO for a small business? Is it the same as a big business? What does the average day of a small business CEO look like? And how do I know if I'm doing a good job as the CEO of my business? Welcome to the Work Less, Profit More Business podcast for owners who are sick and tired of being that chief everything officer, the juggler, and the firefighter, and who would rather have some freedom and become that highly effective CEO with a well-oiled business machine. Hi, if you don't know who I am, I'm Diana Lidstone, business strategist known for my straight talk, no BS, and the simple strategies and mindset shifts that bring my clients more joy, profit, and freedom. So if you're a lawyer, financial advisor, real estate investor, accountant, or other business professional who feels trapped in the day-to-day running of your business, then welcome aboard. I so remember my overwhelming retail days. In 1995, I bought a building, opened a retail gift store in a small town. I knew nothing about retail, but dove into it headfirst, learning all the ins and outs. You see, initially, it was about getting enough sales to cover expenses, right? You feel the same when you're starting your business. It was all about more sales, more sales, more sales. Well, that's what has to happen. And that's the first stage of business growth that I call emerge. And then something happens. Something shifts. All of a sudden, we find ourselves in overwhelm. I remember feeling overwhelmed, doubting myself, and asking, when do I hire staff? What's the right hire? How do I set sales goals? How do I inspire my team? How do I interpret my financial statements? Right? All these things are going through my head because, yeah, I knew how to start a business, but what is all this other stuff? And you see, at this point, I was not only the founder of the business, but I had become the chief everything officer. You see, I was selling at the front of the store. Salesperson, which I sort of thought was the main thing. But at the back of the store, I was organizing sales and promotions, marketing. I was designing and doing displays in my retail store. I was purchasing and managing inventory. I was hiring and managing staff. And I was cleaning the freaking toilets, all the while raising a family with a bedridden daughter, a teenage son, and a husband who had a corporate job and was out of town a lot. Sanity? What was that? Overwhelm? I totally get it, but I digress because this episode is really about you. Just a little hint. If you haven't listened to the previous episodes in this series, I suggest you go back to episode 108, where I talk about small business pitfalls to avoid. Episode 109, it's all about what I call the hot chocolate story. In other words, what got you here won't take you there. And then episode 110, are you the chief everything officer like I was in my retail store or a highly effective CEO? Okay, let's get back to being the chief everything officer. You see, you can do it for a while, and I did it for a while, but you can't keep it up because you'll burn out. You'll never achieve the growth you want. You'll never get those unplugged vacations you dream of. You'll end up hating your business. And I know this because I was there. I knew something had to change. You see, just like me, you didn't start your business for those headaches. So if you find yourself in a similar situation to what I was in, and that your business seems to be constantly evolving, then welcome aboard. Don't panic. Support is here. That's what I help my clients do. Find more joy, profit, and freedom in their business. And shift from their business running them to them running their business like a CEO. So first, let's talk about what I mean by a CEO. Let's be clear. We're not talking about, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street or Fortune 500 businesses. We're talking about being the CEO of a small business. Because in the US, 89% of all businesses have less than 20 employees or teams of 20. And I'm guessing that's pretty much you. As the head honcho, the buck stops with you. Ultimately, you're responsible for everything. But here's the catch, friends. That doesn't mean you have to do everything. You see, if you're a lawyer or accountant with team members and employees, then you're a CEO. If you're a financial advisor or a real estate investor, and you have a team, whether it's a consultant, a VA, maybe an assistant, then you're a CEO. You see, you should be wearing your CEO hat, and that's working on your business more than you're working in your business and wearing all these other hats. So I want to share with you five key activities to becoming what I call the highly effective CEO, that you're leading your company to growth and scale. And yes, you're going to have to shift from being the doer in your business to the leader of your business. This is how you shift from working in your business to working on your business. So here are the five key activities. Number one, you have to define and communicate where you're taking this business. That's what I call your big picture vision. You have to be confidently and fearless as a leader, because if a leader doesn't know where he's going, and if a leader seems kind of, I'm not sure, and they're not fearless and they're not confident, well, does that instill much confidence in their employees or their team? No, it instills uncertainty. And what happens when we have uncertainty? People start looking for places where they can get certainty. Maybe it's another job. Maybe it's another business, right? So your big picture vision, and if you share it and communicate it with confidence and fearlessness, that is what is going to get your team, your clients, and your suppliers all going in the same direction. And they will love you for it. I've shared this time and time again. And every time one of my clients does this, they can't get over how much their team loves them for doing this, how much their top clients love it. Oh my God, I'm so glad you're going in that direction. That's what they say. So there's number one. You have to define and communicate the direction of your business, your big picture vision. And this, my friends, is a clearly written multi-page document. Okay, the second thing a CEO does is create that plan and strategy and monitor it for execution. Well, it's fine to have the vision, but you've got to create a strategy to accomplish that vision. And then you have to make sure it happens. Perhaps you're directing the different departments. You have to be responsible to make sure that things happen. You see, the other thing I want to share with you is, depending whether you are naturally a visionary, and that's the person that has all these big ideas, or you are an implementer. So an implementer is somebody who loves getting into the details, loves executing, that sort of thing. This is where you might want to hire somebody opposite to you. So let me explain. I'm currently working with someone who is a big visionary. And that's typically who I work with. They are the leader of their business. They are the founder of their business. And if somebody looked at them from afar, they might say, my God, this person's got ADHD. They're all over the place, right? They've just got these big ideas and they're looking at their business from the 10,000 foot level. So that's a visionary. An implementer, somebody who's going to take that vision and go, okay, this is what we need to do to make it happen. Okay, so if I'm working with visionaries, I'm helping them create the strategy and what they need to put into place to make sure it happens. And so I kind of become their implementer. And I help guide them until they're ready to hire an implementer or a COO in their business. I'm helping them take their big vision picture and turn it into idea, this plan and strategy, and be able to monitor it. So until they can afford a COO or a detailed oriented person to get this stuff done, that's what I help them do. So when we're talking about a plan, so number one was they've got to create the vision. Number two is creating the strategy and the plan. There's basically, if you want to say, four parts to that plan. You've got to have a marketing plan, right? It's how do people get to know about you? And I call that, in my GROW equation terms, your authority visibility blueprint. Number two type of plan that you need is a profit plan. This is where you organize your products and services for profitability. I call it a profit plan. You also need a customer service plan. Like, how are you going to provide world-class service? And the last thing that you need here is you need to set up an organizational chart for your team. This is part of what I call your freedom roadmap. And setting up an organizational chart isn't just creating a visual. It's defining those roles, including yours. Yes, you as a CEO need a job description. You've got to break this down into 3-year, 1-year, and 90-day, not just goals, but action steps. And then you have to monitor its execution, and that is the data. What does the data look like in your business? How does each employee or team member know whether they're winning or losing? Okay. So a CEO is responsible, number one, to define and communicate that big picture vision. Number two is ensure that there is a strategy and monitor it for execution. Number three is about systems and processes. It is not necessarily up to the CEO to build those systems and processes, but they've got to ensure that they're in your organization, because systems and processes are your key ingredients if you want freedom. They are the specifics of how each member of your team does something. You see, you're responsible to see that these things get done. Like I said, it doesn't mean that you have to do them. You're just responsible for it. Okay, number four. What is a CEO responsible for? Ensuring that you're building a rock star team that can bring your vision to life and execute on your strategy. So here we've got components: a rock star team, bring your vision to life, and that can execute on strategy. And you're going to need different people with different specialties. You're going to need different people today than you will in the future. You're going to need to define your business culture, your values, and then be able to select the right people who share that culture. And then they have to be inspired and motivated to do that work. Wow, that's a lot of stuff for the CEO to be responsible for, right? It's define and communicate your vision, create and monitor that strategy, ensure that systems and processes are built and used, ensure that you're building a rock star team. And last but not least, and I've referred to this before in the original episode about the pitfalls, is you have to ensure that there's enough cash in the bank to make sure it all happens. That's right. You have to stay on top of your finances. You can't be like an ostrich and bury your head in the sand. So I'm not saying that you have to be the doer of all the financial things. You just have to know where you stand and ensure that the team is making the necessary strategic changes, pivots, whatever, so that there is enough cash in the bank. And so I'll give you an example of what I mean here. So I have a client who is a lawyer. And they experienced hyper growth a year or so ago. And as of this recording, there are some things in the real estate market that are causing kind of a slowdown in real estate transactions. And because that is the bulk of her business, she went, So as the CEO, she has to keep top of her finances, watch that cash flow, because the market has changed. So what can she do to stimulate more cash flow other than the real estate department of her business? Or what can she do to stimulate the real estate department in other ways? So she's really got to be on top of those finances. Now, as I said, she is not the one that does the bookkeeping. She is not the one that does the accounting. She has somebody that reports to her that knows those numbers, and they stay on top of that. They have regular meetings. Okay. So if you have questions about the responsibilities and the activities of a small business CEO, you know, I'd love for you to make a comment, leave a comment. And there's a link in the show notes where you can leave me a 60-second voice message. I'd love to hear back from you. Okay. So we've covered, you know, what a CEO is of a small business, what a CEO is responsible for, but how do you know whether you're being a good CEO in your small business? Well, I think really there are three measures, and it comes back to, you know, I help my clients get more joy, profit, and freedom. There we are. Those are the three measures. Do you have enough profit in your business to keep that cash flowing? Are you getting enough freedom? Are you getting enough of those unplugged vacations? If not, what needs to change? And do you love your business? That's the joy part. If not, what has to change? So to me, those are kind of the measures. And whenever a new client comes to me, that's the question I ask them. Which one of these three, joy, profit, or freedom, is the most urgent for you? For some, it's profit, right? They're not earning enough profit in their business. So we have to look at why there isn't enough profit. For others, it's, oh my God, I just want some freedom. I want those unplugged vacations where my cell phone isn't, you know, in my pocket all the time. And for others, it's a combination of all three. You see, those are just three indicators of where their business needs the most support to become that well-oiled business machine that I talk about in episode 104. So that's how you measure if you're doing a great job as the CEO. Do you have enough profit and cash? Are you getting the freedom you desire? Unplugged vacations, you know, how many weeks, et cetera. Enjoy. Do you love your business? Okay, time to move on. Your role as CEO, right? We've talked about that. And I want to share a couple of characteristics of what I call a highly effective CEO. What characteristics or traits make a good or an excellent small business CEO? And I'm going to share four of the top ones. There are many, many more. But as I talk about these, I'd love for you to spend a little time in self-analysis and ask yourself, which of these four could you improve upon? Because, right, truth be known, it's rare for a small business CEO to excel in all four areas. So here we go. Here are the four traits or characteristics I love seeing in highly effective CEOs. Number one, they are inspiring. That's right. They are inspiring others, not just their team, but they're inspiring their clients, their suppliers to take action and to take action on that big picture vision, right? So if you've ever listened to someone that inspires you to make a change, whether that's in life or business, that's an amazing trait. Not everybody has it, but a good CEO will make his team proud of their accomplishments and of the company. But a good CEO also is outwardly inspiring to get people to buy into his or her company. The second trait I find essential is being courageous. You're already courageous if you started a business. But a highly effective CEO has to have the courage to continually confront risk and to continually make quick decisions. They go hand in hand, but it's courageous, it's confidence, it's being fearless, but not being risky at the same time. You know, there's that balance in between. Which leads me actually to number three, the third characteristic, which as I call, you know, they have to be a great decision maker, and not just a great decision maker, but a decision maker with speed and conviction, right? As I said, not impulsive, but a great CEO needs to quickly assess the evidence, the data to make a great decision. So they aren't afraid to fail. I guess that's what I'm really saying. They aren't afraid to fail and then learn from those failures so that they can adjust and pivot if they make the wrong decisions. You see, successful CEOs gather data, they assess it, and then they make confident decisions. One, two, three. Sounds easy, right? The fourth characteristic I love seeing in a small business CEO is adaptability. And by adaptability, I also mean being proactive. So both of these traits are about a CEO who's able to look to the future not getting stuck in the past, not getting stuck reacting emotionally to what everybody is saying, but looking forward. So are you looking at your numbers and your metrics with a future view of where your organization is going based on your current metrics? Like, is the trajectory the right thing? If it's not, how can you adapt? How can you pivot? If you don't have enough cash flow or the cash flow is less than expected, what strategies will you change, adapt, assess so that you can, you know, make sure that you have that cash in the bank for times when it is needed? So I'm curious, friends, which of these four, inspiring, courageous, decision maker, and adaptability, do you think you could improve on? Okay. Finally, you might be thinking that, if I'm letting go and if I'm delegating all of this other work, what is it that a CEO might spend their day doing, right? Every CEO and every business is different. So there isn't a usual way a CEO would spend their time. But if we look at their time and we divided it to thirds, here's an approximation of how a CEO might spend their time. A third of their time is meeting, and I use the word meeting loosely, meeting with top level customers to ensure that their needs are met. So it could be customers, it could be suppliers, it could be JV partners, right? You're out there spreading the word about your business and meeting with those top level people. A third of the time of the CEO of a small business is spent internally, meeting with staff, communicating, making decisions. Only a third of the time. And then there's one third left. And one third is left for, I'm going to call it free time. Now, it is not free time, but it is time thinking, strategically thinking about your business, reading and learning, listening to podcasts, going to industry events. You see, your business will only grow in relation to your amount of personal growth. Reading, as I said, big, you know, influential people who have successful businesses, big CEOs, they read a lot, a book a week, two books a week. I'm not kidding. Yes. So start thinking about reading more, listening to influential podcasts, going to industry events. That's free time. It's personal development time combined with a little bit of your industry. So friends, here's the question. Is that what your average day or week looks like? Are you spending a third of the time meeting with, you know, top level customers or getting the word out about your business? Are you spending a third of your time working internally, that's working in your business, and then a third of the time in personal development? My guess is probably not. And if you would like help achieving this, I'd love to have a chat with you because my Business Accelerator program is specifically designed to guide the overwhelmed small business owner into evolving into that highly effective CEO of their well-oiled business machine. So my friends, we've talked a lot today in this episode about what it means to be the CEO of your small business. And there's a lot to take in. I hope you've made some notes and I hope you will listen to next week's episode in the series, which is we're going to dive into how to actually plan your week as a CEO. How can you actually nail your week for profitability? That's what we're going to talk about in this next episode of this series of Think Like a CEO. Thanks again for listening to the Work Less, Profit More Business podcast, where weekly you'll get business strategies to help you build a well-oiled business machine. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. And remember, you can do this. Bye for now.